WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work, Policy, and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work offers a one-year advanced standing option for students with a bachelor's degree in social work that builds on prior training and connects students with expert faculty and 5 specialized pathways. Apply by February 1st at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork. Inspire change. Shape the future.
Safety plans could change at Chicago Public Schools. I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Earlier this year, the city's Board of Education unanimously voted to remove school resource officers, or SROs, from the district. Since that vote, CPS has explored options without officers in the buildings. The plans instead focus on mediation rather than punishment. To learn more about this plan, we checked in with Chalkbeat reporter Rima Amin. I started by asking Rima to take us back to when the push to remove school resource officers first started.
So the conversations actually began many years ago, even before 2020, when you heard a lot about this topic. And there were grassroots organizers who many years ago were kind of pushing the district to do this, to get rid of campus police, because they felt that the money that's used on staffing police on school campuses should, you know, go towards things like social workers. It should go towards alternative disciplinary practices. And so this is a long time push, including from CPS students who have joined organizations. The Chicago Teachers Union is also in support, has been in support of a decision like this. And that really then came to a head, that activism came to a head in 2020 with the murder of George Floyd in Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. And that kind of pushed, you know, at the same time, the Chicago Police Department was under a federal consent decree that added more scrutiny to this idea of why do schools have police on campus?
Right.
And so in response to that tension, the board at the time decided, okay, we're going to let local school councils decide whether they want to keep school resource officers on campus. And then ultimately 14 decided to get rid of campus police and 39 decided to keep them. And so that led us to this moment that we're at now.
What's been the response since the Board of Education had its vote to remove police back in February? I know former mayoral candidate Paul Vallis wrote in the IllinoisPolicy.org, he said that the board is, quote, bowing to the Chicago Teachers Union's defund the police ideology, and it can expose students to more violence, end quote.
Yeah, so it seems like much of the pushback has been, that I've heard at least, has been a mix of elected officials as well as people on local school councils. There are many LSC members that we've heard from who are upset that this decision isn't in their hands anymore. They, along with elected officials and some community members, have said that schools in more violent, generally more violent communities deserve to make the decision on whether they want to have police on campus. And of course, the counter to that that we've heard is that, there's national research out there that shows schools that have police officers on campus tend to have more things like more student arrests, more exclusionary disciplinary practices, that's stuff like out of school suspensions. And that tends to disproportionately target or impact Black and brown students. And so that dynamic that I just described is what the board is trying to get away from.
Yeah.
But this idea of local control has really, losing local control has really upset some folks.
Yeah. What are parents saying?
Also a mix. We've heard, lots of parents who want their LSEs to be able to retain that decision.
Yeah.
And then there's parents and community members who say, we would rather see the money that's used on cops in schools to instead be used for social workers. I should note here, though, that CPS CEO Pedro Martinez told reporters a few months ago that actually since the pandemic, the Chicago Police Department has not been charging CPS to staff police. They've kind of waived that contract cost, which started with like the pandemic. Everyone had, you know, was worried about money. Mm-hmm. And so CPD was like, it's all good. We'll waive that cost. And so I just wanted to add that little tidbit.
Yeah. And picking up on your comments there about the officers being in school and what that does for the students, I want to hear more about the relationships that students had with these resource officers.
Yeah.
Has it always been tension?
Well, you know, it depends on who you ask. We did, you know, I remember back in February during the public comment period, on the day that the board made this vote, there was a student who kind of said, you know, I just don't interact with the police officer on my campus. And when they're, and she also said that, you know, there were a lot of fights at her school, but the police officer didn't get involved because they kind of weren't allowed to, an officer can step in when, under certain circumstances, but just kind of felt like it almost was like she was saying that the officer didn't really have a role or couldn't prevent fights from happening. Mm. You know, we've certainly heard anecdotes from, kids who feel like they feel more unsafe with cops on campus. They feel like they're targeted. At the same time, you know, the principal of Fenger High School did an interview a few months ago where she said that she feels that they've created a system with their on-campus police officer where they've really hammered home, you know, we want the police officers to have a good relationship with students so that they can take that with them through the rest of their lives if there are any, you know, new interactions that they have with police as adults. And so she feels that police on her campus have actually developed a really good, almost like mentorship relationship with her students. So that's why I say it depends on who you ask.
Yes, definitely a mixed bag there, Rima. Give us numbers if you can. How many schools have already started taking officers out of their buildings and how many have yet to do so?
Yeah, so currently 14 schools had voted to remove school resource officers. Another 39 currently have them, which means that if this policy is, ultimately approved, then those 39 schools would lose those officers. There is also a bill on the state level that would move to undo all of this. So if that bill passes, then local school councils would essentially once again have the power to make this decision. But that bill, as far as I know, has not yet left the House. And so not sure it's going to pass this session.
Right. As we mentioned last week, CPS announced this new plan for school safety. What else should we know about it?
Yeah, so the other part of this, which hasn't gotten a ton of attention, I think, is that the board also directed CPS to create a safety plan for all schools that not just got rid of police, but leaned into alternative discipline practices. So think restorative justice, which is, you know, trying to get that. That's a way of thinking and an approach to discipline that tries to get to the root of student behavior and tries to resolve conflicts among students. And it takes specific training. And this policy really leans into that idea, requires more training around that for teachers, and also seeks to ensure that schools are teaching students social emotional skills.
Right.
And what, you know, trying to understand their emotions and trying to deal with the emotions that they have. And so that the policy really leans heavily into those ideas.
Yeah. So the terms used in the policy is restorative justice, right? And so just for folks listening to us now, Rima, who might not be familiar, is that what you're describing now?
That's right. Yeah. And that's kind of the idea of, again, ensuring that students have the tools to resolve conflicts among each other, and trying to, again, lean less on exclusionary disciplinary practices and instead having conversations with students to understand where, you know, bad behavior is coming from and how they can prevent that from happening in the future.
Any other schools that you know that are already incorporating these alternative discipline practices?
There are schools at CPS that have already been doing that kind of work.
Okay.
And actually, there was a study last year that found, or earlier this year, that found that those schools tended to see fewer student arrests. And so that work is happening at a chunk of CPS schools. And so we'll see if this policy passes, which we are expecting it to, you're going to see more schools implementing this and being required to do that.
So talk more about this. You mentioned earlier, you know, since the board's decision, state lawmakers, they've been debating that bill that would reverse the move to take police out of CPS. I want to hear more about how LSCs, local school councils, are involved here.
Yeah, so, you know, I think that as far as the Springfield bill, it seems that kind of came from the public outcry that we talked about earlier when the board decided that it wanted to remove police officers from campuses. It seems like Springfield lawmakers heard some of that outcry and decided to take action so that LSCs could retain this power. And, you know, I think from the district perspective and certainly from some CPS leaders, and from the Chicago Teachers Union, they kind of believe that Springfield is bigfooting here and stepping into a policy decision that the board should be able to make. On the flip side, LSCs, and if, you know, the city has an LSC advisory board, I talked to somebody on that board who said, you know, we think that this is, that the board's move here is taking away from local school democracy. Again, for folks who don't know, local school councils are considered kind of the mini school boards of Chicago schools. It's a pretty unique system that we have in Chicago, and folks feel like they're losing some of their power. And so I actually, you know, I thought that this bill would sail through given that outcry, but it, as far as I know, it doesn't look like it's going to pass this session. So we'll see. I could be eating my words soon. We'll
yeah. I mean, and so many other questions come to mind. You know, it's like, do CPS schools even have the resources to be able to fully implement what they want here? Do they have people who can actually train teachers and staff on what you described as, you know, the social and emotional learning?
Yeah, that's a great question. I have that question too. I talked to an expert at UIC who has looked at, discipline policing in schools. And he looked at the draft policy and said, like, you know, this looks like it responds to what the community wants, but there are a lot of requirements in here. And it seems like there's a lot of monitoring that's going to be required on the part of CPS to make sure that schools are training educators, to make sure that they're doing all these things, and to make sure they have mental health professionals at their fingertips to help students who are going through crisis. And you're talking about a school district that is about to enter into a fiscal year with a $400 million deficit. So How do you ensure that schools are doing this? I think for CPS's part, this plan is supposed to be phased in. So it seems like they're going to be figuring out a way to find schools that they feel should be implementing this new policy right away. Mm-hmm. So that could help, I think, with monitoring if you're not monitoring everyone at the same time. But tomorrow's the school board meeting, and we're hoping to learn a little bit more about how that implementation will work and how they're able to do that if they, of course, are not able to get more funding.
Well, before you go, as you mentioned, if the bill that gives LSCs authority to decide whether schools have these local resource officers passes, what's next for the bill? Because you said it hasn't left the floor.
Right. I think if it does ultimately pass and get signed by the governor, then that would mean that local school councils could just directly contract with the Chicago Police Department mm-hmm. to have police officers on campus.
That's Chalk Beach Chicago reporter Rima Amin. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Sasha.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Micah Yasin. It was edited by Meha Ahmed and mixed by Linnea Dominic. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast so that you never miss a new episode. We feature local stories and the latest news on the pod. You can also check out our website at wbez.org/reset to see our full archive of conversations. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
My name is Donald. I live on the southeast side of Chicago. I support WBEZ because of the balanced reporting and covering so much about an issue as opposed to just the few seconds that you may hear on most other news outlets. It matters to me to hear the story more completely